Dr. Christine Ross and Dr. Holly Allen are co-authors of the book Intergenerational Christian Formation, Bringing the Whole Church Together in Ministry, Community, and Worship. Dr. Christine Ross is the director of the Christian Education Program at Concordia University, Irvine. Ross is passionate about intergenerational ministry and interculturalism and has a background in teaching a variety of cross-cultural classes. Dr. Holly Allen is professor of Christian Ministries at John Brown University, where she directs the Child and Family Studies Program. I was able to interview them about their research and study of intergenerational ministry and the impact it has on young adults. The interview took place in Irvine, California, in January of 2013, where they were the featured speakers at the LCMS Youth Ministry Symposium. You will hear some of the background noise from that conference for just the first few minutes of the interview. We'll begin with introductions and explanations of what prompted Dr. Ross and Dr. Allen to focus their study on intergenerational ministry.
I'm Christine Ross, and I currently direct the Christian Education Program at Concordia University in Irvine. And I became interested in intergenerational ministry because I was a DCE at a congregation that just naturally enabled relationships between youth and young adults and older adults, and it was just part of the congregational ethos. They didn't talk about intergenerational, they just did it. And then I ended up going to a second congregation where there was really animosity between the youth and the adults. And looking at that and thinking, this doesn't look like the body of Christ, this doesn't look like the community of faith, I was really looking back at this other congregation and thinking, how can I enable that same ethos from this congregation I just come from to this new congregation? And so through that, learning, bringing different age groups together and trying to enable them to build some relationship, I came across the whole term of intergenerational Christian education, intergenerational ministry, and decided to study that more.
Great, thank you.
I'm Holly Allen. I teach at John Brown University. I became interested in intergenerational issues in the 1990s. We were part of a church plant that met weekly in intergenerational small groups, and I was profoundly changed by those groups, by the events and activities and the profound spiritual formation that I experienced and saw and observed in other people. The burning question for me became, why? Why is this happening in this setting in particular? Why am I seeing such growth and development among the children, the teens, the adults? What is it about intergenerational Christian gatherings that promotes such growth? And that drove me to pursue my doctorate, and that was my question. Why is this? And I particularly looked at children. My dissertation was titled A Qualitative Study Exploring the Similarities and Differences of the Spirituality in Children, of Children in Intergenerational and Non-Intergenerational Christian Contexts. Along the way, I learned a lot about adults, and emerging adults, and teens, but I learned a lot about children, too, and found some very important concepts that have continued to intrigue me for the last 10 years, and I continued to research and study that, and I was delighted when I found Christine, and she was also as passionate about it as I was, and we worked together these last several years to create this book. It's been a wonderful blessing in my life, a surprising one. It was not one that I expected. I didn't expect to write a book on anything. And so it's been really delightful to see what God has done by placing this desire in my heart and providing the steps along the way, the relationships along the way, and the current interest, the hot interest in this topic. I mean, it's just amazing that my passion, my interest happened to hit at just the moment when many in the Christian world are looking up and saying, we've been dividing the generations. This is not a good idea. How and why and when can we do this? How is this to be done? Somebody help us with this. And so this book hits it at such a wonderful time, just the right kairos moment. And I do believe that God has been at work in this.
So both of you began your interest in intergenerational ministry not from an academic point of view, but because you were part of that and it was so important to you that you wanted to find out more of that. So what did it look like? What is intergenerational ministry?
Mm-hmm. It's bringing people of various generations together in mutual serving and learning and worship. So it's not just having, not just coming together and we have the kids sitting over in one table and the adults sitting over in one table. And so we can say, oh, we're multi-generational. We have various generations in our congregation. But it's interconnecting them. It's building relationships between those youth and those adults through various activities that we do that we normally do in a congregation. It's not like we're going to create a new program for it or a new activity, but we already have ushers. Maybe we can have a youth be part of an usher team, and so then that youth would build some relationships with some of the adults that are part of that team, or we already go on service events. So, but sometimes we say, oh, this is a servant event for the youth. Well, what if it's a servant event for the congregation? And youth and adults can attend. And so those will build relationships between the generations where they can talk about, hopefully get to the point where they're talking about faith together and living out their faith together and role modeling faith together. It's really hard. It is sometimes hard to get the various generations to build a relationship. You know, they may walk by each other, they may say hello, but that's not really a relationship. And do they know each other's names? Do they know anything about them? Could an adult in our congregation say, oh, I know any part of the faith journey, of the God story of this senior high girl or this junior high boy?
And vice versa.
Yeah.
How would you define intergenerational ministry?
Well, I think that we agreed on this definition at the beginning of our book. I think I would like to move on to what is the premise of our book. And our premise is that these kinds of experiences, that intergenerational Christian experiences uniquely and specially promote spiritual formation, Christian formation in people of all ages. And that's why we're so committed to it. I think that there's a unique blessing unique spiritual blessings come from intergenerational Christian activities. Benefits and blessings that wouldn't necessarily come in age-segregated settings. So that's why we've been so committed to this. We do see that it really produces spiritual growth and formation. Our ultimate goal, of course, is spiritual maturity, and we do think, and we have seen evidence, that intergenerational Christian experiences especially promote spiritual formation across the ages.
So to the young adult listening who's like in their 20s, how would this kind of intergenerational ministry benefit them?
Especially for those in the 20s, this may be the most crucial age group right now. They are on their own. There are few older people speaking into their lives. They are navigating life, perhaps only with peer groups, making crucial life-mattering decisions such as, who will I marry? What will be my career? Who am I? They're still navigating that particular Erickson crisis. Who am I? Who am I going to be? They are also beginning to own their own faith or not. And they are working through these huge decisions without the covering and the accountability of those further ahead on the journey. They actually, these 20-somethings of these days, want to have these relationships. We don't, as a society, we have really abandoned them. We've not provided them with that that surrounding group of people who love and care for them. And partly say, well, they've left. That may be true, but we need to seek ways to come around them and begin to provide that support and care that they actually need and want. They have not sought it, perhaps, or not seeking it necessarily in faith communities, but some are now. Some, especially whose lives have begun to fall down, are saying maybe there is something there. And even especially for those who didn't have faith communities in their background or parents who taught them, they are seeking some grounding. And we have that to offer. I think there's been a strong sense that, oh, they don't really want us, they don't really need us. And that may have been so. I think boomers have been responsible for putting that out there. Oh, they don't need us, they don't want us. From their backgrounds, when they were in their 20s, were kind of throwing off all the bondage that they felt they were in. And they pressed that onto these 20-somethings. I'm not sure the 20-somethings feel that. I think they were parented more loosely and have not had a lot of these fetters that have held them down, and they feel a little bit like they're out there with no mooring. And it's hugely important. And Kinnaman says this, Christian Smith says this, the slow fade people, Joyner and his co-authors say this, that we have, and Powell says this, we're throwing them out at 18 and with nothing to hold on to, nothing to provide some cushion, some support, some care. And we need to be providing that, especially at this very crucial time in their lives.
Why are our kids that are in our church, our big proponents of the youth ministry and come to everything, why do some of them even drop off then when they get into college, when they become young adults? And then also this idea about the boomers kind of, yeah, the age gap is a term that came about in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an idea, it's almost become a culture, something that Americans just think. We just think, oh, there's an age gap. Oh, the young adults don't want to be with the older adults. The youth don't want to be. And we just think that way. So for a lot of adults, it's like, okay, they get out of youth group. This is their time to be away from the church. This is just what happens. Well, no. Why does that need to be what happens? We think it's what happens because that's what our culture since the 60s have told us. But it doesn't need to be that way in the church. Where in Scripture do we see, you know, Jesus say, okay, well, take time off when you're a young adult? And so I think that when intergenerational relationships are built younger, at younger years, then the youth, when they become young adults, are going to feel like church is still for them, that they have relationships with people, with other people. Even if a lot of their friends go off to different colleges or different communities, they can still go into a church and know that they know how to navigate a relationship with an older adult and a little bit about how to communicate. And they'll feel more comfortable in that setting, hopefully, because they're already used to that. They're already comfortable with being around people of older and younger generations.
What could an intergenerational community with young adults offer? Like, why would it be important to include young adults? What would it do for them? What would it do for the boomers?
I think we need to invite them into intergenerational small groups, intergenerational service opportunities, intergenerational learning settings, intergenerational worship planning. I think we need to be proactive in inviting them to join us. I think they would welcome it. I've seen this happen. I think we have been hesitant to do so, thinking, oh, they're going to say no, they don't want to be with us, and feeling very mature by saying, oh, they're young adults, they'll manage their life on their own, they don't need us. And so we think we're being freedom-giving and mature by letting them go. And I don't think that we have read the signs well. I think we need to intentionally invite them in to what we're doing and let them make that choice. And that can happen across a fairly wide spectrum of activities and events and the kinds of things that happen. Just inviting them in, I think they'll come.
We've read a lot of material on like emerging adults where it talks about how the emerging adult, the young adult, wants community. That so much of their community has been on Facebook or Twitter or texting. And they do, especially when they become young adults and they're transitioning into adulthood and they don't know how to navigate it, as Holly was talking about, then they want some real people who've been through some of these situations to kind of give them hope.
Hearing the journeys of people who are older, it's really encouraging to 20-somethings to hear those stories of people who've gone before them, who faced catastrophe, who had children out of wedlock. And here they are, 40, 50, 60, and pillars of the church. How could this be? When they made very poor choices as teens or 20-somethings. But God has called them into his kingdom, and they are living under that in powerful ways. That's so encouraging to kids who've, young adults, emerging adults, who've made some very poor choices. And they need to know there are other people further ahead on the journey who've also messed up their lives but have under God's care and grace, been drawn back in and now are strong and vibrant and spiritually mature, that they're not out because of decisions they've made. They're not forever and hopelessly gone. But piggybacking on what you said about they want community, we do have community. We have it, and it is something they say they want. They tend to spend a lot of time with peers because they don't know of other options. There doesn't seem to be another option. But we do have another option, and we're not extending the invitation. Ah, good.
Right. What I was thinking about with this research that I've been reading, or books I've been reading, we've been talking almost more about young adults who have been involved in the congregation. But even young adults who are not involved in the congregation want community. Mm-hmm. That they're interested in that. They don't know that the church is a place they can go to get that. And that's something that's different now than it was 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think a lot of our older boomers and in our congregations, they don't realize quite the shift. They don't realize that the young adults have to be invited, that they have to be told the church is a community. We are here for you. We will love you no matter what. They don't know that anymore. So many of our young people have not grown up in the church.
And they've grown up, I think, with feelings of animosity directed at them. Like, you stopped coming to church, it's your fault. And why would the young adult take the first step when they feel like all the blame is on them? You know, you didn't wear dress clothes to church, and you didn't keep coming, and so, you know, they feel like they're not welcome, which I don't think is really true. I think baby boomers are very concerned about young adults, but they don't necessarily seen that. So how would you recommend that young adults respond to that? So they want community, they want to be a part of something like that, too, because they can't necessarily control what the church is doing, because most church leadership is probably in the age group of baby boomers. So what would a 20-year-old do to try to be a part of an intergenerational community, to break in?
Well, if they want to find one, I start with the internet. That's what they know best anyway. Start there and see what the church says about emerging adults. See if the language that's used is very inviting. See if it uses the word intergenerational, not multi-generational. Multi-generational just means we have all the generations present and we have special programs for you. But if they want to be involved in cross-generational settings, most churches who are intentional about it will have that on their website. So it's at least one place to start, to find a church that they feel like they could be included in cross-generational settings. And then once they get there, talk to whoever greets them at the door. Say who they are and ask. And there would be opportunities in that kind of church for them. And they could be directed to those who plan intergenerational small groups or service or intergenerational learning experiences. And they could be invited into those. They wouldn't necessarily be on the intergenerational worship planning team the next day. But there are good opportunities to immediately be plugged into settings that they will be included in and listened to and warmly received.
Yeah. For those who maybe are somewhat already comfortable with a church setting, especially if they've, you know, come through youth group and now they're looking for a congregation to be involved in, I would go along with what Holly said, that to ask if they can take that step to tell people they are interested. Because again, I think there's this culture that we don't really think they are interested, and we don't want to push them. Because mm-hmm. if we push them too hard, maybe they won't come at all. Mm-hmm. And so I think if a young adult would tell the pastor, tell an usher, tell somebody maybe that they already have some little connection with at the church, I would like to get involved. I think people would be like, oh my gosh, okay, well what about here, what about here?
Yeah.
So I just think there's this assumption that they don't really want to be involved.
Our son is 29 and he's been part of a faith community for 2 years now. Within 2 months, he was in a cross-generational setting. He was also in an emerging adult classroom with Sunday school with about 30 other emerging adults. They have several wonderful ministries he got involved with. Picking up bread at Panera Bread after hours and taking it to a ministry in town. And in that ministry, it is mostly run by senior adults, very senior adults, like 75 to 90. Mm-hmm. And they are thrilled to have him. And he joins them in that, and they drive around to several different places and collect the bread and leftover stuff and whatever and take it to the ministry. And they have welcomed him with open arms, and he has delighted in getting to know them. So it's, there was a place. He just said, I think I'm interested in this. And immediately he was absorbed and loved on. It's been great.
What about the boomers and older adults who are listening because they want to do young adult ministry? How can they initiate those kinds of relationships? What could they do?
Well, I've been to church with my son, and there are two in that emerging adult class that he's in. There are at least 30, and there may be 40 or 50 young professionals, single people, and two older boomer couples teach that class and have events and activities for these young adults, and they love it. The older ones love it, and the younger ones love it. There could be more couples that would be involved. These 20-somethings, like I said earlier, are navigating life with no help, and this is wonderful to have people who are much further ahead on the journey to offer advice when they're running into sticky situations with a boss or with a coworker who's claiming their work. My other son ran into this a few years ago. He was a computer programmer, and his boss, actually, his immediate boss, was claiming credit for his work. And he went to another older person and said, how can I keep this from happening? He said, you need to embed in your software what you're doing, that it's your work. And so he didn't know what to do. He didn't want to report them and get them in trouble, but he needed help. And so there was some help there. But these emerging adults need older people that they trust, that are for them, that don't have other agendas, to be able to talk to them about their work issues, their dating issues, and to be listened to and loved and cared for with no other agenda going on. And sometimes in a work setting, there are other agendas. But these young 20-somethings, dating for them is quite different than it was when boomers were 17, 18, 19 and got married at 21, 22, 23. They're navigating a sexually charged world. It is prevalent everywhere. And to be with a group of people who encourage them in what they have decided to be. If they want to be pure when they marry, there are those who can surround them and say, you aren't the only one left. And if they've been sexually active in the past, but they're recommitting, they need not only these emerging adults around them who believe, but also those further on the journey can say, this can be done. We did it. They're not facing something entirely new. And they need to be hearing that and be encouraged.
So boomers should make sure that they're willing to share their story.
Share their story and provide opportunities for that. Get involved in the lives. What are emerging adults doing already in your church setting? Join them. And these older adults, decided that they wanted to be in that class and have gatherings and just be present. And they chose to do that at the expense of some of the other things they could be doing. They could be hanging out with all the other 50-somethings if they wanted to, or 60-somethings. And they said, no, this is where we want to be. We want to be with them in their journeys. And that costs something to do that. But it's a fabulous thing to do. And it has encouraged me to look for that group at the church that I'm in right now.
I think often in our congregations, when we have an event or a Bible study that's for adults, we say, adult Bible study. And I think that leaves out young adults and even senior adults, because often our adult Bible study is focused on people who are about 40s and 50s, or maybe you could say 35 to 55 or something in that age group. And the others on the end, the other adults, don't really know that this is for them, because we do have young adult ministries, and we have these adult, and then we have senior adult. So if it only says adult. Let's say you're in a congregation that's not large enough to have all these separate ministries. Do you believe that the young? So that's when the young adults feel really left out. Mm-hmm. But what if in your publicity of it, you said all adults, 21 through whatever, 102, 101.
There you go.
And then they would know that they were invited, that it was intentional. That's just a very small piece of intentionality, is that we just put, yes, we want you here, so that they know. And if they walk in the door, they're not going to, no one's going to stare at them strangely because they've been invited. The other thing is there are congregations, and I think older boomers and the silent generation, they could even start this if their pastor isn't already doing this, and that is start a mentoring program. Actually put it out there that we have, you know, a dozen older adults who are willing to mentor. And it's up to you, young adult, if you want to meet weekly, if you want to meet monthly, but we are willing, if you would like, we'll meet with you at a coffee shop once a month and just talk about life, or we'll have a Bible study, or at least it lets them know, the young adults, that there's willingness to reach out to them. Maybe it takes a while before the young adults choose to step in to it, but I think if the setting is there, if we're saying, welcome, come, we have this for you, after a while, I think, you know, some point somebody's going to step in, when some young adult's going to step in and do something, one of them gets a mentor, says to another friend, this is really good. This person's really helped me. I didn't know how to pray out loud, and this person prays out loud for me, and I'm becoming more comfortable. Or I didn't. They're going to tell their friend, their young adult friend, and pretty soon there might be another one taking, you know, the adults who put together this little program of mentoring.
Intentionality in forming those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Making yourself available, getting the word out there.
It's good. Both of you began your interest in intergenerational ministry because of your personal experiences.
Experience.
So I would like you each to share what that was like, that intergenerational ministry, what you saw in it, and how young adults played a role in that as well.
I was part of a church that had intergenerational small groups for 4 years. We met every Sunday night. We had preschoolers, early elementary, later elementary, junior high, high school, lots of college students because we were in a college town, and emerging adults, and young adults, middle adults, older adults. We had everybody present in these intergenerational small groups.
How big were the groups?
We tried to say 20, and they were never that small. They were always 25 to 35, if you counted all the kids, of course. And they were too large, but we just were constantly growing. We grew and grew and grew from 25 people to about 600 or 700 in 4 years. And so we were constantly creating new groups, and we had to train leaders, and we were always playing catch-up. I would say the college students and the young adults felt most welcome and treasured in those settings, and I had not been in settings before where I really felt that they thought that. They knew they were an integral part. Their issues were received and welcomed and prayed for and considered valid. It was a powerful time, and I am still in contact with several of the young couples who were in college and then dated and then married those 4 years. And we know them. They are around the world, in Turkey and in Thailand and in Croatia and the Philippines, and then some are in Houston, and some are, you know, across the United States, and they are taking what they did there, the experiences they had, into the settings that they are now. And we just met with someone about 2 weeks ago, and with tears in their eyes, they said, those were life-changing experiences for us. I taught the girl in that couple in my education classes at that time in college. My husband taught in the theology classes that the young man was in. They met there, they dated there, they married, and they spent the first year of their marriage in this church. So their last 3 years of college and their first year of marriage were in this church. And they said the small groups profoundly changed their understanding of Christian education, Christian formation, spiritual growth and development, and they have brought that forward. It's been maybe 15 years or so, and they are now part of a national ministry that promotes this, and it's been powerful in their lives. So I know from personal experience of the young adults, the emerging adults, what a profound effect it had. Another ministry that was really powerful in this church, we had churches all over town sent us their people who were struggling with homosexuality, and because nobody at that time had a clue what to do. And what we decided in our church, not to create a program, but every small group was asked if they would host, family, be brothers and sisters to the young men that we knew were struggling with homosexuality. We had a couple of women also. And those groups who were willing to do that, we had, by the end of our time there, we had about 25 groups, and I would say 12 of the groups took responsibility, and especially on the weekends when these young men particularly were really tempted to go out to the XXX place, pick up an anonymous partner. And so from Friday at 5 till Sunday night, they were constantly in contact. They had dinner with a family. They would go to breakfast with one of the young men or married men in the group. They would do a family activity. And, I mean, all weekend long, we were there for them. And that small group said, we will do this. It was profoundly affecting for those who helped and those who received. It was life-changing all around. I don't know what all the kids knew about what was going on, but they adopted these young men as brothers into their intergenerational group settings. Made a profound difference in the lives of some of these young men, but certainly what I did find out was that it's not that they, everybody said, well, they just need a girl. What they needed was men. They needed men to mentor them and accompany them on their journeys. Strong heterosexual males to say, come with me. This is what this looks like. And that is what these groups provided. It was life-changing. It was a wonderful experience. So that's a particular subset of emerging adults. And these young men, a lot were struggling with, of course, their sexual identity and who they were in Christ and what this could be. It was a wonderful experience for them and for those who helped them.
One of the congregations where I first became exposed to an intergenerational philosophy of ministry, it was also near a college, so that's interesting. In both of these places where there are young adults, one of the struggles too with young adult ministry is we have a lot of churches that don't have a lot of young adults even in them, and they may want to reach out to young adults, but they don't know how to. And that is part of that getting the word somehow advertising out into the community or getting out into the community and making relationships. I mean, you might have to get out where some young adults hang out even. And my husband's a pastor, and he makes his best relationships at Starbucks. He does his devotions every morning at Starbucks. They know his name. He knows them. That's what's more important. He knows them. He knows. They come to him for advice and struggles. Now, he constantly invites them to church. They haven't come yet. But, you know, those relationships are being built. And they know where they could go if and when they are ready for that. So we need to go, you know, we need to be getting out to them. Now, that's not really that first congregation for me, but it was in a college town. And so really, there wasn't a lot special just for the college students or for the young adults. But they were just expected to be part of the congregation. And so, for instance, this specific congregation had a preschool and a senior adult daycare. And these were ministries of the congregation that everyone in the congregation wanted to, I guess when they first started, wanted to be involved in. And were seen kind of as the kingpins of this congregational ministry. And so, you know, from the pulpit, the pastor would say, you know, the older adult ministry needs help. They're going to go out to, you know, they're actually taking them out for a field trip today, and they're going to go to the zoo, or they're going to go to the mall, or they're going to go, and we need some people to go with them. And he might say, and now you college students, you know, if you have a break between classes, between this time and this time, please think about coming over. So he would address them specifically. Or, you know, I know some of you have flexible hours with your work. You know, if you could take your lunchtime off from this time to this time, the preschool is going to go, you know, do this, and we could really use your help. We would often find that it was the college students and young working adults who would do that. They would often be the ones to come out. You know, I just have these visions of, you know, these college students, you know, with the wheelchairs, taking people down the ramp and, you know, going out somewhere. And then when it was our praise band, even our traditional, we had a kind of a praise band and we had, more traditional choir. Everybody was invited onto those. And I will say, I think young adults and college adults were really asked. Let's, you know, very clear, when are we practicing? If you're able to be here, be here. A lot of it is just getting the word out, saying it very specifically, you are invited. And I saw that work.
That's wonderful. I hope that people who are listening will be able to be intentional like that and be brave enough to step out, that they would be the first ones to invite young adults, or that the young adults be brave enough to say, plug me in somewhere, and that's not easy to go out of your comfort zone to do that. But it seems obvious that it needs to happen for there to be community and for generations to learn from each other. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for taking this time and for your book. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.